everybody. What's going on? Welcome to a brand new episode of Waldman's Words. So my name is Emily Burke. I am not Scott Waldman. Scott Waldman will be here in a little bit. We have a really cool episode today because we have the most people sitting in a room at one time that we've ever had and being on the show. So it's going to be me, Scott, co-host Jed Fuchs, as well as 18th and Addison, and that includes Tom and Kate, and also their touring drummer Brian, who we've never had on the show before, so that's going to be really exciting. They are here in California on their Reckless Love Tour, which should be over by the time this airs, but, you know, always stick around. They're going to be touring a lot more in this next year, then the next couple years, hopefully for as ever long as they want to tour. So you'll always have a chance to see them. So we're going to talk to Tom, Kate, and Brian today. We don't really have a setup. I think we're just going to do a roundtable kind of thing and, you know, discuss the tour, being in a band, Brian being a drummer, and whatever else we want to talk about. So we have six people sitting in this room. It's not going to get messy, I promise. It's actually really great. And we're just going to have fun. And I hope that you guys have fun listening to it. But we're really excited to have them here. They're from New Jersey, so they're not in the Los Angeles area all the time. And as you know, Scott and I are always in the Los Angeles area because we live here. So it's like it's just fun. We always love when people come out here and play shows and see us. So we're going to get to that really, really quick. Just know that you can listen to Waldman's Words live, like hopefully you're doing right now, every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or you can listen to the podcast versions on Adobe.com, iTunes, Spotify, and your Amazon Alexa. I always love the Alexa thing because it's kind of a tongue trickster. Oh my God, tongue twister. I can't believe it got me all that. I was about to be like, I was doing so good. You could ask Alexa to enable Adobe Radio, and you could listen to Adobe Radio whenever you want to. So enjoy my voice for right now because we're about to get a lot more people in. We're going to have Scott, we're going to have Jed, we're going to have Tom, we're going to have Kate, and we're going to have Brian. And we're all going to talk about music because that's the one thing that brings us together. So I'm about to head out of here so you could listen to a commercial or listen to a song. Probably what we talk about, either Simple Plan, Water Parks, All Time Low. Maybe, I don't know. What are they playing on Adobe right now? I should really check into that, but I don't know when this is going to air. But Adobe has cool songs. So stick around, listen to that. We'll be right back with Waldman's Words. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Waldman's Words here on Adobe Radio.
Pivot.
I'm Jed Fuchs here co-hosting, but also sort of lead hosting with Emily Burke. We are here with the illustrious band, 18th and Addison. Kate, Tom, Brian, thank you guys so much for coming out here today.
Most importantly, Brian Dilla is here.
Most importantly, Brian. And you guys like how I didn't even introduce Scott, the host of Waldman's Words, Scott Waldman.
Most importantly, this is Jed's last show.
Yeah. Going out with a bang. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Now, this is not your hometown, I hear, Burbank, California. Can you tell us where you are from?
We're from Toms River, New Jersey.
Toms River, shout out.
The most narcissistic Tom is the river.
Mm-hmm.
I claimed it.
Yeah. And I do want to give a quick shout out because all three of you are wearing Lido Beach shirts now. Yeah.
I love that so much.
True fans represent, established 2007, so you know we're legit. You know it's OG out here.
We were paid handsomely to wear these.
Yeah, real handsomely.
Ryan, I take back my compliment.
Yeah. It's rough out there on the road.
Clearly. Now, you guys are here in Los Angeles. You guys got some fun stuff going on while you're here, right? Not just being guests on Waldman's Words, but what else are you doing out here?
So tonight, which as Scott
likes
to mention, it will not be tonight by the time you hear this. We're playing at Harvard and Stone.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're out on the road with a band called Forever Starts Today.
And they're sharing a van, which I think is a unique / awesome, awful thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to find a spot to sleep, but Hey. We've all been managing, and now, yeah, we're playing tonight.
You sound really well rested.
Yeah. So I sound much better than I did yesterday.
I was being sarcastic.
That's what we're doing. If you guys each hit one monotone together, you'll be like a cacophony of...
Maybe we'll all sound good.
You'll harmonize. Save your voices, though. We definitely want to hear you blowing it out at the show, so don't feel too bad. Feel a little bad, but don't feel too bad.
Once adrenaline kicks in, you're not even thinking about stuffy noses or anything.
And, right. The second you hit stage...
It's all gone.
Like that movie Judy, which don't watch it unless you're ready to cry because it's so good and you will cry, but they push her out on stage and the switch just flips.
This happens.
You are such a Zellweger.
I get that all the time. That's true.
But honestly, I really want this to feel like a moderation because Tom has been a part of the show several times. Kate once, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And Brian has never done this, and we've never had you guys in the studio. In fact, I may have said this is my very first time meeting Brian. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing about this music world, but I think we should delve into topics like New Jersey, because I know a lot about Kate and Tom, but the world may not. So I think that Emily should start right now.
I think it's also very important to kind of give context as to not only who they are to us, but who Brian is to them.
Right.
So Brian is their child, and Tom and Kate is our child.
Because obviously, you know, we've had Tom and Kate on the show before as 18th and Addison, and though the band 18th and Addison is made up of Tom and Kate, Brian is a very important part of the band.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He is their touring drummer, and he is there in the thick of it with them.
Oh yeah, for sure. Probably since, was that 2017.
When have you been around?
When were you born, Brian?
Born in 2017.
Yeah. You're the most talented 3-year-old I've ever met.
Also the tallest.
Yeah. The most red haired.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
It's a red Benjamin Button.
Brygeman Button.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've been with us for a while now.
Yeah.
He's been really vocal in a lot of the new music too, which is cool because everybody thinks it's just Tom and I, but Brian comes in and he gives his 2 cents and it's.
And I don't have to show my face.
It's
great for Brian. Yeah.
He's in one of our newest music videos for our song Leeches, but he insisted on having a mask on his face. I mean, that was
we
part
could take
of the plan.
That many different ways.
Yeah.
And let's take it the good way because he really cares about, you know, making sure that you two are the centerpiece. The bad way is he's fucking ashamed.
Well, it matters what kind of mask, too. Is it like plastic or is it like a leather mask?
The
it
mask was, drummer.
There
it's, we go. It's the pilot mask. That did
I don't
not
wear a
do,
mask when we're on stage, so it's not the
21 pilot.
You would have been cool with not having it. Yeah, but when we told you could, you were like, yes.
It was just a happy surprise. Yeah.
I think that was the selling point for Brian was we were like, yeah, we just like need someone close to Tom's height. And can like wear a mask.
Make yourself useful.
And like if you could do that, and like Brian was just like, I wear a mask.
Yeah.
That's all I heard.
Fuck yeah. Let's do it.
See, that's kind of weird to hear because you are on tour, you play shows, you're a performer, and yet you don't like to be seen.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not very active on social media. I'm not.
Well, is it sort of that on stage switch flips thing where you don't think you are and then you step out on there and suddenly you are?
Yeah, yeah, maybe. And I'm in the back too. So, you know.
Uh-huh. Let the deflect. Let the pretty people stand up front.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at his socials right now. He's a very pretty boy.
I'm going to ask him. Usually when I have guests on the show, I know a little bit about you're a fucking enigma. And I think Tom and Kate are stoked that we're focusing on you right now. But
absolutely.
When did you actually start playing the drums? I really don't even know this. And maybe Tom and Kate don't either because this is the first time they're talking to him too.
Yeah,
we don't really talk to Brian.
He plays the drums. You're here?
How'd you get here?
Insert hired asshole here.
I started playing when I was like 8 or 9, probably.
Which one? Sorry.
Probably closer to 9.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And did you play like, because I remember in elementary school when people were learning the drums, it's like, oh, I play the bass drum, I play the snare, or did you just go right
no,
to the
kit? No, it was just right into the kit, yeah.
Fucking overachiever, Brian.
Yeah.
Or on the floor at age 10. And then you just roll.
Or no, we
from
decided
there.
That he's 3.
That's right.
So.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But aging in reverse, so in addition to falling in reverse.
I'm not 8 yet.
Yeah. Now.
Now, the moderator's back. I love
you. Yeah, hi, welcome back. Now, you guys, New Jersey, lot of opinions about New Jersey. Everyone's already got baked into their
hey,
mind.
Hey, fuck you.
Like,
That's the most New Jersey thing you could say.
How you doing? Hey. Fuck your mother.
And there's a and there are a number of bands who have a big theme about escaping New Jersey. The third film in the series, Escape from New Jersey. And was that part, I mean, A Day to Remember doesn't flinch at talking about, we got to get out of here, man. We got to go. Did you guys have that experience? Did you find music was your ticket out, or are you more comfortable back home?
I mean, I just think we've done everything that we want to do in New Jersey now. Mm. So it's not a, like, I mean, we're a little different, but like, I don't mind it as much as Tom minds it.
Mm.
But I definitely want to get out and see more and do more musically, not in New Jersey.
Right.
You can only do so much.
All right. Now, Tom, five words on New Jersey.
I really fucking hate it.
Ah! See?
So what do you like most about it?
Yeah. Say one nice thing about New Jersey.
Your parents?
Yeah, my family.
Oh, cute.
It's really it.
Kate?
Your politicians.
And not me.
Yeah, I love all of them. No,
I've never met a more diehard Chris Christie fan than Tom.
Yeah. Truly. You go vacationing with him to the Jersey Coast.
In the van, it's all about Chris Christie.
I mean, is Tom from Tom's River and Chris is from Christie?
Yeah.
You think his parents could have chosen him?
Yeah.
Dude.
It's like Chris Christopherson, you know?
Or Philip Phillips.
I think they did exactly what they needed to do. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They did it.
You know what's funny? It's like you're positive once a year. You just reach your quota.
That's it. All of 2020 is shot now for Emily.
Well, like, I see karma like Chuck E. Cheese tickets. So you do one nice thing, you get X amount of tickets, and then you could do a bad thing, and that costs one or two tickets, depending on how bad that thing is.
Huh.
I see karma like a Chuck E. Cheese ball pit. Everyone gets SARS.
How many tickets do you get?
Well, here's the thing. I do not consider myself a good person. I will never say I'm a good person.
You are a good person.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, sorry.
We don't know the real Emily.
The only thing I could really do, because I'm not... I don't really have time to do much. I'm not very charitable. So what I used to do...
As Scott spits out his water.
Overselling yourself.
This is not a video show, but when she was talking about not being charitable, I just drooled all over myself.
Full spit take.
Hang on, I'm going to get a napkin.
But I donate blood every 2 months. And I think every 2 months, fills back up my Chuck E. Cheese tickets. So I have 2 months to be an awful person until I go and I donate some more blood.
That's
smart.
Is
an incredible view on karma. I don't think you can just bank points like that. You can go around like kicking puppies just because you donate blood.
Planning karma.
No, so speaking of leaving New Jersey, you guys did use your music as a vehicle to see the country and hopefully see as much of the world as you can. So you're here in Los Angeles now. Where else are you guys headed off to?
We did a bunch in Texas a couple dates before because we're on the Reckless Love Tour right now. We did Texas, and then obviously we're in L.A. We're going to do Riverside, and then we're going to Denver.
Ooh.
That'll be interesting.
And just as a frame of reference, they do have obviously management with Emily and I, but it's completely DIY. They self-book the tour.
Wow.
So every success is theirs and every failure is ours.
Agent work more so. And I've heard Scott say this on other shows, what makes a great management client is those who are self-starters. So you guys do have to put the work in,
They
right?
fucking define self-starters. And this is where Brian should shut the fuck up. So basically...
Sorry, Brian.
Brian's there.
No, I know.
He's there to look
that'd
pretty.
Be funny and it works. But you guys grew up... I know that you're not a big fan of Jersey, but a lot of great music comes from the Garden State.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And when you guys were growing up there... I know I asked this a lot about what you were getting into, but were there any people who you were trying to emulate success-wise that were kind of hometown heroes?
No, not really. Nobody.
Absolutely not.
He's like,
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I was always listening for me personally, like when it comes to just bands I was listening to, is always from either different countries or from the opposite side of the country. So all my favorite bands came from here.
And okay. I was the same way with Southern California music, but I did like Billy Joel. I thought that he's like the Long Island poster boy. So
yeah, well, like I loved Bruce only because like I grew up and my parents love Bruce Springsteen. So like that was basically a lullaby.
Remind me to show you Max's Springsteen jacket.
Oh yes,
oh yes.
Max, for a frame of reference, is my 4-month-old who is cuter than everyone in this room combined.
Okay, well.
And older than Brian, actually.
Yeah, right. He's older than Brian.
Somehow.
More facial hair, too. No,
Max Waldman is like everyone's son. You know?
Collective. Yeah. Takes a village.
I love that and I hate that so much.
He's getting a lot of aunts and uncles.
Yeah. So seriously, being your own agent, you're like in the van with 20 smelly people calling the venue in advance, right?
Mostly, yeah. Tom does a lot of that for us. He's killer at it.
You make him do all the work.
Basically, let's be real.
No, but let's get back to you though, because I want to hear this from Brian too, because you hear it from a different perspective. And for the record, this is also the very first 18th and Addison tour where Kate is playing bass, and they're doing it as a 3-piece, which I think is really really cool. But I know. What about you? Because you actually grew up in a household where your parents listened to a lot of hard rock. Like we did not growing up. For me, it was the opposite of hard.
I mean, my dad listened to
Flaccid Rock.
Yeah, we listen to that's a really good name for a band.
What's up? We're Flaccid Rock. This is our song. This is our song, terrible. Smegma.
No, I mean, there was a lot of Metallica and like stuff like that for my dad. But my mom, we were just talking about it in the car. But my mom like raised me on country, so Shania Twain and Brooks and Dunn and like a lot of. Music and old school country that really stemmed from a lot of blues, which was cool. Not that I ever considered myself a great guitar player, but it obviously influenced me in some way. And I always felt like I wanted to push myself more with my guitar playing. So I never did, never had the patience to do it. So then when this opportunity came up to where we decided we wanted to do a 3-piece thing, and I was going to take
over. You were tentative about it. And now you're like, oh my God.
It works. Now I love it. Yeah. And I want to practice bass. Like where as guitar, I just wouldn't take it out of the case unless we were practicing or something. So now I know like this is what I want to do. And I think ultimately we've all clicked even more than we did before because we're doing what we need to do in the band.
Pulling double
duty.
We've
already been tight, but now it's like bass and drums really lock in. Yeah. Tom's able to showcase his guitar work, which he's always done anyway, but now it's at the forefront and everybody knows it's him, which is even cool.
And Kate and I always like locked in at, she would always do the rhythms on guitar and we would always lock in that way, so it was pretty seamless.
Well, what about you though? Because growing up, I don't know, again, you're a fucking phantom, so it's like,
what
which
an
awesome you're
compliment.
Mysterious.
Yeah,
you're
I'm mysterious. So jealous.
He's like a whole person.
And you're the opera. Yeah. You're the opera, and
wanna,
he's the phantom.
Yeah, I want to be an enigma so bad. I think that's the coolest thing.
Dude,
Ryan fucking does.
I'm just being honest with you, like knowing you and knowing me, we have a 0% chance of becoming an enigma.
I know.
You're on the grid, pal. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Way too on
people
the grid. Know you.
Yeah.
Way too on the grid.
Minimize your social media.
Brian just sprung forth one day. You just appeared on the scene.
One day, 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Fully formed, ready, with drumsticks in hand.
Yeah. So prior to pre-K, what were you listening to?
Honestly, like, I was not. Probably until I started playing drums, I wasn't very into music. We were talking, actually, on the way here. My mom, like, listened to, like, country and Christian rock.
Okay. Mm. It's funny, is, like, the last episode we had someone who went to a religious school, Heather Allen, and Kate talks about country. These are my two favorite things on the planet. Blah. Yeah. Christianity and country.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any more Waldman than that.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, some of those songs fucking
they're killer.
Slap.
Amazing. Yeah. It's all about the song. That's what it is.
We were discussing Rascal Flatts RIP.
Yeah. And how upset we are about it.
Forever in our hearts.
I think Shania is fucking dope.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I have to see her residency at some point. And just the musicians, like, I don't know if she has the same band, but the music.
Yeah.
As she has is so good.
And she was with Mutt Lange, who did, you know, AC/DC.
Yeah.
And did you know that?
No.
Mutt Lange, the producer, it's kind of
touchy.
Probably, well, the pun might be intended. But basically, it was just like a very revered guy was with her and, you know, was quite the creator of millions of records. So, Jed, back to you, moderator.
Yeah. I mean, just to round that out, too, Dolly Parton. I mean, recently...
Speaking of rounding things out.
I recently pulled the crank on a Dolly Parton slot machine, and her music starts playing, and you know what it says right there? Dolly Parton is a registered trademark of Dolly Parton. She owns it.
Badass.
Yeah. It's all about the
business. I heard that she wrote, "I Will Always Love You," the same day she wrote Jolene. That's not
that's
a joke.
Crazy.
Back to back, she just, no way.
Just like I struggle with bathroom, and she's like...
Yeah. And this Scott's is what tying his shoes for 20 minutes.
Velcro.
And she's That's amazing.
Back to back. Yeah. Yep. We've all got she's child awesome. Toys in front of us here that yeah. we're playing with that we're going to do reviews
on
later.
I got to stop because I almost broke that.
Someone yeah. left like a toddler like toy yes. In the studio.
It was not me. It was not Max.
I yeah. thought you guys supplied these.
Yeah. No.
It's like because stress relief.
Well, most musicians are fucking children.
Yeah.
we're all
Dude,
fidgety.
The band's loving it.
Yeah. yeah.
Keeping talking about keeping yourselves distracted, how do you guys survive those tour vans? What toys do
yeah,
you have?
Yeah,
because
you guys have never lived with each other, so I'm very curious how it goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do you possibly? Yes. It's not just not you two, though. Anything. It's not just you three. Yeah. It's a whole schmagoigle of people you may and may not
I didn't
like.
Have any coffee in my mouth then.
I wait for Tom Scott to take a sip.
I mean, yeah, you're like, what? You mentioned that you just like have a ton of movies and you keep your headphones on. And...
Yeah, you got to like, there's so much downtime that like, it's just like managing that.
Hurry up and wait.
I'll have my headphones on for like hours on end sometimes and it just...
I get like to the
you
point.
You learn to deal with it.
I get to the point where I'd like rather drive than
right.
sit and like
too.
Listen yeah. and just do nothing. So if he drives, I co-pilot. If I drive, he co-pilots, and then we just know we're able to hold a conversation together. Or, like,
that's a good strategy. I'm just telling you, as a former touring artist, it's always good to have two people up because you never fucking know.
Yeah, at least exactly.
But even it's hard too because we're not familiar with. Some of the bands that you go out with either, so like you don't
and
know.
You don't usually share a vehicle though. Yeah. You're doing an atypical sitch. Yeah. That's slang for situation.
Yeah. Also, and like even if the co-pilot goes to sleep, for me if I'm driving, I love it.
Yeah.
Like late at night.
Finally get
like,
to be
give
alone.
Me like 2 hours on the road just in silence, everyone's passed out and it's so nice after a
Beautiful.
Show.
The driver's seat is probably the most comfortable seat Dude, that we is. Have this time around.
Well, especially can you tell guys everyone, like us, you guys, because so I would love to, I mean, yeah, you guys are fucking abnormally tall. And, you know, it's
and
great.
I'm really
and Kate's like, hi. But basically.
Accurate.
Guys, I'm heel. I'm white heel.
White heel.
Here I go again on my own. No, no, but this is a very unconventional thing because you are sharing a vehicle with another band. So. Tell about the ins and outs of that, Brian, and nothing salacious.
Salacious.
Oh, man.
Which, what it's is, just, is it?
I mean, it's...
You said salacious.
Like I thought soliciting. It was salacious. I thought
it's
it was
salacious.
I'm a fucking
idiot. You're the English major. Yeah.
Just because I'm... Listen. Well,
I knew
I don't
that.
Know.
I was
wait,
let that
everyone
slide.
Be quiet, please. Well, fuck.
please,
no.
Please.
Oh, you like music? Name every band that ever existed. You like movies? Oh, that means you've seen every movie. Oh, you're an English major? You know every single word. Every single word.
Scott loves when I grill him like that. Look. So please, get salacious with us.
Okay,
get
salacious. Get salacious.
That should be the new TMZ.
Yeah.
That's the next record name.
Sounds delicious. Sorry, Brian.
You remember the question?
What was it? Yeah, I don't even, yeah, what's I it forgot. Like being with other people in the van? Is that it?
No. Yeah. Talk about the genesis of it and exactly what it is. Not what it's like. You know, that's the fucking typical, what's it like touring? Come like, explain the dynamic to people listening because no one knows but us.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically...
And it's salacious, by the way. You're right.
Okay,
just fuck me in the goat ass.
Okay.
Stop.
I'm having I just have a feeling you're not going to answer this question today.
You're never going to get an answer.
We'll get around to it.
Three-year-olds don't know how to do proper dialogue.
I'm four.
All right. Kate, you're up. Explain. And then we're going to take
a
break.
What's the question again?
I didn't ask you anything. All right, Kate.
I mean, the dynamic is you kind of have to learn these people, but you don't know them really. I mean, this is just the situation because, like you said, we've never done it before, but... You want to learn about these people, but you're also in the van trying to sleep, trying to take care of your voice, trying to get
Manage
there in
yourself.
One piece. Yeah, like talk business at the same time because there are things that come up when you're out there. So you kind of have to be in your own world, but not be in your own world at the same time. And you hope that the band that you're out with is cool and understands that you're in a separate band.
You have to respect each other.
Yeah, so... I think this run, since we are doing it for the first time, it's been good trying to just, you know, have us be in the same area of the van. Like, we're trying to make a point of that just to make sure that we can do what we need to do on our end. But it's not the worst thing. I think it's just as long as everybody's honest with each other and, like, move your stuff. This is our area. Move your stuff there. And everybody's open about it. There shouldn't be any problems, really.
It's sharing a mobile one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With way too many roommates.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you've toured enough, you can kind of adjust pretty quick and get used to being uncomfortable and making that comfortable. Sacrifice, you know, you could figure that out pretty quickly.
I mean, I've been uncomfortable from the moment we started managing you.
And that was my goal. I was hoping that would be the case.
Mazel tov.
And that's kind of the thing you don't realize. Success. If you see a band on tour and it's like week three of their tour, remember, they're miserable.
Yeah.
They come out on stage and aren't 12 out of 10 and just 10 out of 10. Like,
You either become morbidly obese or super, super, super skinny, and dudes usually grow the beard that I have right now.
Right.
Well, that's why I think it's super important to, like, which is what we've done a couple of times already, is just like get a hotel if you can do it and have your own space and
get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, get a good night's sleep and not even just the shower part of it, because that's great.
Take a shower.
But like just decompress a little bit in your own area.
And go to rest stops and actually disconnect from everyone.
Yeah.
Like really do your own thing.
Well, that's a big thing, is it's like a lot of bands, they kind of fall for the story, like the fairy tale of like rock and roll and punk rock, of it, we're supposed to live uncomfortably in the van and we're not supposed to sleep and we're supposed to be up all night. It's like, if you're not resting and taking care of yourself, dude, you're not playing the next show. You will be a train wreck. I can promise you that. It's like, even as of a couple days ago, I got pretty sick. Like, it was just like a quick like cold just through weather changes and things like that. We still played just like we played the nights before when I wasn't, you know, and it's because I made the choice to take care of myself and not try to.
Well, you never know who's going to be at the show.
It
could be the dingy bar that three people were at and somebody's there. You just don't know.
And that's exactly what happened. So the show where my voice, I was kind of struggling a little bit to get through it. It was like the fourth show in and the weather was awful. It went from extremely like kind of decent out to cold as hell.
Right. You traveled halfway across the country.
And we came from New Jersey, which was just already cold. So it's just immediate allergies and everything. So I'm surprised it took as long as it did to hit me. And so we played. And when we got done, there's a couple dudes there that loved our set and offered us another show,
like
another time
venue,
at a different venue. Yeah, because we played as if, you know, we were having a blast. So it's like, how can you get mad at a band for having a good time? So
You reminded me of that also. There's been a lot of people sick on this tour.
So, for our
12-hour drives, we're also wearing like surgical masks.
Putting in the work to do that is like a nightmare.
I think we should leave it at that for the first segment.
Yes.
We all look like doctors.
I mean, that was a sick segment.
Yeah. Stay healthy. Wear surgical masks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Adobe Radio. We're here on Waldman's Words with 18th and Addison.
You guys ever see Weekend Update with Fred Armisen?
Damn.
I mean, that was an A minus.
Good. You're a little far away.
That was, well, the high five was an F plus, I think it's Garth and Kat. It's Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig.
Freestyle singing. Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, and that we're gonna both move on to have our own late night shows.
Onto bigger and better things.
I mean, what is bigger and better? Get the fuck out.
Bigger and better than 18th and Addison?
Touring. So I guess you guys are sharing a vehicle with Forever. So today we've got Tom, Kate, and Brian of 18th and Addison. We've got Jed of Fuchs, Emily of Burke. So you guys have been touring in various different art incarnations. Hi. Tom just waved.
Take a picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
That photo was amazing. Basically, when was the very first time that all three of you toured? And you can get as specific as you want, but what have you learned from that you're doing right now?
Go ahead.
My first tour, I was really spoiled. I was in a good situation, so I had a bus and I didn't have to do any of it. I was, you know, it was booked for me.
And you were a kid.
I was a kid, yeah. I was 15 or 16 or maybe going on 17, I'm not sure. But I think what I've learned from that I've brought with this band is that I like being more involved, and I like kind of knowing what to do. Like, on the road, for the most part, like, I try to take more on, like, the tour manager role, since we do everything ourselves. So I make sure we get where we need to go. I make sure everybody's in one piece. Tom does all the booking. Brian's there, you know, helping Tom.
So I do all the tour managing.
I'm just kidding, Brian.
No, Brian is there. I'm there. Supplying the backbeat. And
he's the cheerleader.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, she wakes me up and tells me to drive.
I buzz everybody around.
I mean, that's pretty much what a TM does.
No, but really, like, I try to just make sure, like, everything's running smoothly for us so that there's nothing getting in our way of creating a good show and having a good show and an experience. So that's really like my thing that I've taken from it, because when you're not involved and everybody's like there just telling you, oh, be here, be there, go there, you have a bus, you can sleep every night in a bunk, like it's easy to just be like, oh, touring's great, but you don't experience like the raw, like hard parts of touring when you're not doing it.
It's
in a
like
band.
Camping versus clamping.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I've taken from it. But then like obviously with this band, and I've done some stuff with some other bands too, it's been in a van and it's been cool, you know, to really experience that. And I almost prefer a van, but like I'm saying that now, but I would love if we had a bus.
Yo, shut your mouth.
We say that now, but like when our band gets to the point where we can go out in a bus, we're going to appreciate it so much more.
But we're also three people now. So it's like we could get a 15 passenger and have four extra rows, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah, so it'll feel like a bus.
But you know what I mean.
You'll take the private jet, you know, when the time comes.
I'll take it.
But yeah, I'm not against it.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm not saying no.
What about you, Mr. Tom? Because I would love to learn about your prior tour experiences, and then we'll focus on the most important person in the room, Mr. Brian Dilla.
Fucking Dilla. My first experience was...
Who is playing with a baby chew toy.
I had no idea that was a chew toy. Oh,
cool. It is now. Ew. Everything's a chew toy if you want it to be.
If you're brave enough.
You're the only dad here. I assume great. You knew what that was.
Yeah, come on, Scott. You haven't chewed on one of those before?
you suck on this.
I think my first tour, I was 17 because I remember we were waiting for me to be able to drive so that we could all drive.
Were you a senior in high school or just after high school?
I was a senior in high school, yeah. Wow. And I think we went out in around, I forget what it was. It was early senior year and it was quick. It was just like a week out and like a couple
laminates?
Shows. No, but one of the guys in our band definitely wanted to, and I remember kind of going, sure, dude. You had to humor him a little.
He had to humor him a little bit.
But yeah, I remember that. Every show.
Thanks, Gerard Way.
Yeah, every show fell through. It was awful, but you know, you learn from that, and then you learn how to do it better next time. We went back.
Wait, but why did they fall through? Was it just miscommunications?
Miscommunication on mostly our part, because you know you thought it would be similar to booking a show at home, which it's not. You hit up a promoter or a venue, and the show's there, and all the information's sent to you, whether that's in a private message on Facebook or
MySpace at the time,
or whatever. Yeah, like it's everybody just told again, like kind of like Kate's situation, and when you're a smaller local band, everything is just people just kind of tell you where you need to be, and you're there, and it's 5 minutes from your house, no problem. When you're trying to go from New Jersey and your next show is in Chicago and you didn't advance that show and you show up and nothing's happening, you're kind of like, it's like, well, dude, whose fault is this? This venue's got hundreds of bands coming through all week long.
And you're not special.
You're not special. Yeah. And that's one thing I think is really harsh reality for a lot of musicians to understand, is that like nobody cares about you. So it's like you got to make people care by proving that you're worth their time and their attention. So
especially when you're playing outside of your home base, where you're going to have friends from growing up there and family, and if you're even an hour or two away, you're going to see what it's like.
Oh yeah, it's a big ego check that I think at that age we really needed. And then from there we went out to Minneapolis and we did some recording, and then we waited until that record was done to tour again, and then we kind of stayed on the road. It's very similar to what we're doing now, pretty much DIY. Very poorly DIY, I should say.
But this is the very first tour that Emily and I are working with you on. So right, to us, it's a success.
Yeah.
And it's on the West Coast and not the East Coast.
This is the first time we're on the East, the West Coast with this
band. This project, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
What about you, Mr. Dilla? Like, again, Captain Enigma Phantom motherfucker.
I'm going to try to keep that
Enigma, though. That's your
I don't want to tell you too much, and I'll ruin it.
We won't.
You should actually not even answer any question. Yeah. You should be like, so I saw a movie the other day.
on the van.
I did see a movie on the bus. Yeah. Oh, The Lighthouse.
Oh, you watched that?
I'm hanging by a moment.
I didn't start touring until with them, and I was around like 21. That was, 2016, maybe?
17, right? Because we went out to Austin.
Right, because I'm 3.
Because you're 3.
Oh, geez, you are young. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. He was born in Austin, Texas, during South by Southwest.
You did some of that stuff with Kristen.
You're conceived in a quesadilla.
Yeah, so probably like around like 19, 20, I probably started going out with like, I would do like kind of a similar thing that I started with them, just playing drums for other artists that needed touring drummers. Mm-hmm. And then Tom and I were playing, he was playing guitar in my band, Def Ray, and that's how we met. And then
I wanted to steal Brian. Tom
and we did.
Tom, this is my claim to fame for this band. It's like, I picked you. Like, he didn't, like, not want you, but
hey, what's coming out?
No, well, like, they would play together, and I'm like, wow, Brian's, like, a really good drummer. We should
Who
would
have thought Kate would take knives out during this thing? Yeah.
No, but, like, he was just like, yeah. He's like, I just don't know if he'll fit our band. I was like, well, he hits really hard, and he's tight.
Well, you guys got to understand the band that I was playing guitar different. With him in.
Sounds heavy.
Well, it was, what would you say? It was like rage.
It was like hip-hop and like
it was like a rage, yeah.
Yeah, like a rock mix.
Uh-huh. Like we were able to cover the Gorillaz and Rage in the same set.
It's funny, Gorillaz were brought up last segment,
Yeah, we covered we did Clint Eastwood like every show.
Sick.
Yeah.
Oh, super cool. Yeah.
So like things were like.
Good song, shitty politics.
So like, things were like slower, like downbeat kind of stuff. So like our stuff obviously was always more upbeat.
It was
hard
to hear.
And I never really got a chance to, even in that band, I wasn't really able to talk to you.
Yeah, we weren't like super close when we were playing in that band. But then like,
that's because you were in the back.
I'm always in the back. Yeah.
Just nobody would let me speak
close because like in proximity.
Yeah. Nobody would let us speak to each other. Yeah.
And then we realized that like we had like similar backgrounds of like when we started playing like punk rock music. That's like what I learned drums on. So it was really natural to go and play for them.
Yeah.
And then
you
when you did,
up,
we never let
like,
you
what
leave.
The hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
I just got a signal from Scott.
Yeah, I saw
Scott does this sign thing language? During the show.
Yeah. Isn't it so weird that he likes to keep the show moving?
Crazy.
No, so weird.
Weird.
But what are you saying?
I was actually, what I was doing was literally trying to give you spotlight last fucking time for that. I was like,
you should ask a question.
You also mouth at the same time. So I'm like, should I try to read
like
your
this?
Lips or do I look at your hands? I'm like,
yeah. He's just trying to trigger you.
And I'm like, yeah.
It's 2020. I'm triggered.
Trigger.
Oh my God.
I'm honestly triggered. I'm overwhelmed.
The word the offends me.
But in terms of the enigma over here, I like the only two
identify as a robot
Kate used to describe Brian, which was he hits hard and he's tight.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think that's your new Twitter bio right there.
Yeah.
He's tight a fucking as hell. Enigma. He doesn't have Twitter.
But that's the thing is like what like Brian Twitter. Said, he does have Twitter. He doesn't use it, but he has.
I don't tweet.
But like Brian said, it's like our backgrounds are almost identical.
A lot of and Green Day.
Lots of Green Day. Like, but like. And then there's tons of new music that Brian's introduced me to and just vice versa, just from being in the van together. And it's awesome. So then it's like the more you do that, I think when we went out to do those shows in Austin for the first time, we were like, oh,
was that the first? Was Austin the very first show on the tour?
Yeah, for this tour. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, that was the first time show we ever played together was in Austin, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Wait.
You know that?
Wait a second.
No. All right.
You've
well,
played
welcome.
Shows with 18th and Addison before. Am I fucking cracked out
No, I mean
in like 2017
many years ago
when he was first born
was in Austin
was
brain fart
when Brian was first born we played in Austin in 2017
and then he got circumcised
on stage
he was circumcised on stage because we did five shows in 3
18th
days.
And Moyle
wow yeah
18th immortal
it's a performance art
Moyle
oh god
we're trying to steal the throne from the Rolling Stones we're gonna try and live forever
Ooh. Yeah. You gotta pickle yourself now
Emily I would love it if you would ask them a question right now
I don't want to move from this topic.
Well, you don't have to pivot.
I'm very happy where we are.
I mean, I'm just going to take Emily's spotlight.
Yeah,
sorry.
You know what,
in your best Valley female voice.
His voice is already Valley.
So like what
sounds the same?
What is, you guys have toured, you guys have been to a lot of places, you guys have seen a lot of cool venues. What's one venue story that really sticks out? A story of triumph, a story of loss? What's the one venue in America that you remember so clearly because of what happened?
I just got to be real honest about this, though. Every single venue we did in Texas was awesome.
Duh.
On this
like,
run.
Wow. On this run. So serious because this is a rarity, and I think every like young DIY touring band can attest to this, is that you're not always very fortunate with sound guys and venue owners, sometimes they just love to just treat bands that, you know, aren't huge. They love to remind you that of that. You know, it's like,
especially if you're a douche about it.
It's also the first
like, guys,
time.
It's like, we already know that. Don't hurt me with it anymore.
The first time on the show, someone said something nice about Texas.
Or ever.
Yeah. Look, it's just the venues. Like, every sound guy was so accommodating and helpful. The owners were cool. They watched our sets every night. Like, we were just like, oh wow.
But touring because I used to tour like 73 years ago. But basically. The best spots on tour are the quote unquote not cool cities or not cool states because it's more of an event. Right. Whereas in LA tonight, hopefully, God willing, not everyone there will be Steven Spielberg's kid. And in New York, it's like, oh, my dad invented Wall Street.
Yeah. So it's
not the movie.
I don't know if there's any venues though that like were like that I can think of that were like crazy. I mean, we love playing Radio Room.
I was just going to say that. They're great.
Yeah. Where's Radio Room?
They're in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Greenville.
Great, awesome owners. Great, you know, great management there, too.
Another state that doesn't often get in the same sentence as the word great.
They get love from us. They take good care of us every time.
They had a previous, like, spot that they called Radio Room. We played there acoustically on an acoustic tour. And like Tom said, the owners and just anybody that books there was just awesome. So then they got a bigger spot, and we played there recently with our friends in Brigades, and it was like a great show. Just even if the show's not like, you know, crazy packed, it's still a good show because the energy is just
well. There's
awesome.
Four people in that state, so if you get like two people in there,
that's
you
a
have,
good turnout.
Yeah,
it's like, we sold out.
Wow, you got whoa. Holy
we always have fun there. We have people sing along a lot there. That's my favorite.
What about you, Ryan?
Ryan.
I said Brian.
I heard Ryan.
I literally said Brian. I mean, I know you guys are very quick to attack the host of Waldman's Words,
but I
literally said Brian, and I know your name is Brian Rilla.
Right. Ryan Brilla. I've never played it with you guys. Have you guys ever played Le Grand Fromage in Atlantic City?
That sounds very classy.
No.
Isn't that like
no, we avoided that. The Big Cheese.
The Big Cheese.
Bringing it back to NJ.
Fromage. This place is crazy.
It's crazed brie.
I don't know. It depends.
Ooh. I haven't. I don't
like,
know.
Like the show sucked.
Yeah.
But
that's the least important.
I'm really happy
you
didn't do it with us.
No, they've asked us to play. Was it? I'm not going to say who it was through. But
I know. I know.
We've been asked.
Continue being
times
so vague.
Yeah.
I
know.
Earmuffs.
Less.
I have no idea what the fuck they're talking.
We just called out the Big Cheese and then just like didn't elaborate at all.
Yeah.
It was just so
it's
terrible.
Not a venue.
I love playing at the Little Pizza.
Yeah.
Guys, this is bad.
Come on. The Big Pepperoni.
Do you want to go into detail on why?
It was a good venue, and like they had like it was one band, which was like our band, and then like three belly dancers before us.
Sounds like a Persian restaurant.
With like fire and like batons, and it was.
How can you go up after that?
You like, can't.
Yeah.
How do you follow?
They opened.
You were
and
also
just
belly dancing. And
dude, Metallica
like
opens up for these belly dancers.
Yeah.
Like at at your show tonight, after all of the sets, there is a DJ set by like a DJ called Something Hot Dog.
Mama Hot Dog.
Mama Hot Dog. Yeah. And then she's giving out free hot dogs.
We should relish in that.
So God forbid that she came on before you guys. She would have killed it.
Watch out.
Yeah.
She would have grilled
it'd
it.
Be over.
Yeah, she would have grilled it. Yeah.
Wow. That was a good question though. It made me really think about it.
We strive to have at least one per episode.
You know what else? At least that was a good question.
Waldman's words are sometimes intellectual. Usually,
there's at least one word that's semi-smart.
Ever since we brought Jed in,
Schmuggle.
It's getting a little smarter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, other than those venues, the only other one we always shout out is Brighton Bar at Home because they take care of us all the time too.
That's like our home venue.
So you have a positive association with the Garden State.
Yeah. I'm a lot. Okay. I'm dramatic.
Just
but,
that.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
It's fun to talk smack.
Yeah.
But
I'm in a band. I'm dramatic. But no, we love Brighton Bar. I literally send them an email like, "Hey, we got a new record coming out. It's on this date, but we'd like to do the show on the Saturday night after, so everybody kind of hears it." And the guy's like, "Yeah, whatever you want to do."
Very.
And we're like,
cool.
Like, we're gonna bring a light show. Is that okay to do with your stage? Yeah, sure, dude. The added effort's great. Like, we love you. Do whatever you want. No, Greg's awesome. Like, he's just like, dude, whatever you want, just do it.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Dinosaurs and goblins.
Yeah, right. I'm just gonna bring a fire shooter too. Is that all right?
Well, as a band, like having that is probably great because, you know, you could always go and experiment there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We started doing that without the light show, and then we did, and we saw the difference and kind of the energy it brought to the show opposed to times that we didn't have it. So now we'll do it every time, especially if he's cool with it.
Yeah.
Yo, he loved it. He was watching the whole night. It's great. So, yeah, cool. We love that venue.
Shout out.
Well, by the time this episode airs, the tour will be over, but how many more days do you have on this run?
I think we have...
I know the answer to this question, but I just
wanted...
We
have four more shows in a span of
10 days.
Six days.
Wow. Yep.
Well, it's a DIY tour.
Yeah.
Right. And you have a long drive ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we're grateful for some of the days off. Most of the time you dread the days off, but in this case, it's been nice to have like a day or two off, especially here. Like we've been able to do stuff rest. Like this and nice. Rest.
Meet my son.
Meet your son.
I can't
Maximus.
Wait.
Go to Randy's Donuts.
Yeah.
Hit all the bigs. Go to Circus Liquor. Hit all the big LA landmarks.
I actually talked about Circus Liquor. Or were you privy to that part of the convo?
This was how. We're bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Uh-huh. We're trying to get drunk. Arrested circus liquor.
So you guys work hard on the road. You're tour managing yourself. You get to the venue. You unload all your crap. You sound check.
And this is the last question, by the way.
You come back. Okay. And it's, all right, 3, 2, you're on stage. Go. What then? How do you keep that energy up? How do you engage the crowd? What's the trick? How do you do it?
And let's start with Brian.
Oh, man. Come on, Brian. Engaging the crowd is all them.
That's all Tom.
I don't even. If there's no one like up front, I know that they'll get them up front. Like, I don't even worry about it.
Are you telling me you don't have a Tommy Lee roller coaster, like, one day?
That is what I'm telling you.
That's
why we took the tour, so we could build that when we get home.
Yeah, don't downplay it. When they tell jokes, you got to do the ba-ba-ga.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the little rim shots and all of that, so.
No, I mean, it is mostly Tom, like, grabbing these people. He's really good at bringing them in. Yeah, like, He is
the Me Too movement.
Yeah. Just come on in.
I feed off of what Tom does, so that's the way I get involved. But
me, Tom.
Hashtag.
But between that and just like the chemistry that we all have together now, like there's times where we're like, we just give each other a look and we know we're going to switch something up.
It's like you're married.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So weird. Like we did it the other day. We did a Green Day cover like on a whim. We went into
Blondie.
Sweet Dreams.
What?
We did Blondie, like just at one of the shows for fun. But like the fact that we can do that together without any practice or whatever. We added a crowd interaction part to one of the songs that we didn't even practice before we left. So it was like
fun.
Certain crowds that were able to like kind of learn how they are before
read
we
the
go
room
on.
Yeah, too.
Right.
We can
kind
of change it on a whim, which is cool. Cause
every
really
crowd's
good at
different.
It.
We figured out a good way to do it right off the bat too. It's like the second... Sound guys like, you guys okay? We're like, yeah, we're good. They're like, okay, you got like, even if they're like, you got like 5 minutes, we're like, well, if we got 5 minutes, we're already up here. 5 minutes means we could play like
another
two
song.
More songs.
Yeah.
Like, let us just start. So they'll go back and shut off the music in the venue or whatever.
You know, I've never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Oh, dude.
That's a sincere compliment from Scott.
Yeah.
Oh,
which is rare.
We,
so
we set up quick. Well, we set up fast. And on this tour, obviously, we're sharing
we're
gear
three
as well
people.
As the van.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and even when we were a four-piece, we set up so quick. And just
and you actually
get
set
it done.
Up.
Yeah, we actually set it up, And what we'll basically do is Brian will come out with this real smooth now, just boom, drum fill.
See?
And we all just drop at the same time. And it's just chaos for a minute.
Yeah.
Just to kind of let people know. It's just like, hey, like,
pay attention.
We're about to start playing.
We're
get
starting.
Over here. You're like, yeah, like, you want people to kind of feel like, oh, man, I might be missing out on something.
Well, nothing's worse than, like, a room full of people and they're, like, 10 feet from the stage.
Well, I had to do that in San Angelo. The crowd was, the stage was huge, like, real high. And everybody was, like, 20 feet away. Yep. And I'm like, look, if you're going to be 100 feet away all night, you got to fucking sing.
Yeah. <that's>
Do something.
So we just forced them to sing, and we kept playing this interlude thing for
Me Too Part 2. So anyway, so we're gonna end on this note, the aggressive promotion from Mr. Ryan Gilla. I would love to hear about... You know, oh, I accidentally just turned up the speakers really loud in my headphones.
Oh, God. I just heard myself like sound
feedback.
Really great.
So anyway, Mr. Brian Dilla, to wrap up your segment and hit it hard, give the people what they want, your socials and your social security.
Do you
number.
Even know our socials?
Yeah, you're going to have to. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're all at 18th and Addison.
No.
He knows their band name.
Sometimes it's at 18th Addison.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Twitter...
I was talking about his own personal.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But,
that's
but,
what I thought.
It's useless. He doesn't know.
You can go to it.
That's the promo
Ryan doesn't exist. Like, he's not. Someone's going to, like, listen to the show and they're going to, like, email us and they'll be like, Brian Dilla's been dead for 10
years.
Yeah.
That's so
we
great.
Have who the
That's
fuck
so
is AT
funny
Addison
he's
shirts.
Dead.
Oh. We need to get who the fuck is Brian Dilla shirts yeah. now.
I want that.
I said that last night, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you
I rock
did?
That. Just your but, socials.
What's and that? Social security
numbers. A cool website you like.
Yeah. my Instagram is Brian_Dilla. That's
where
my
do you shop?
And your person is understated.
Mm. I agree.
Underscore.
We love Brian Dilla.
Underscore.
Honestly, our band would not be what it is without Brian's drums.
He's a fucking
and
awesome
and him
drummer.
As a person, honestly. Like, we joke around, obviously, because it's been mostly just us, but this band, 18th and Addison, is what it is because Brian's in it. So.
Oh, yeah.
You're
and
the
always 18th, too, since
Tom's the Addison, and Brian's the ampersand. Yeah. Yeah. Come
no,
on.
I approve the fuck out of you. All right. We'll close out with the most important person in the room, Jed. No. But basically, Tom, you're up. Because you're not online that often.
No, never.
<Not at all.
laughs> No, never. So what am I doing here?
Socials.
Where are you talking about damn
what
socials?
Are my personal socials?
Where can yeah. people see that you're going on another tour?
Oh, Tom Kunzman or just 18th Addison.
Well, where
I
can
post
they
the
read your
shit.
Articles on Loudwire?
Ooh,
Substream.
Look at that. Ah. Yeah, just add me on Facebook and I'll decide whether or not I want to accept.
But
chances are if your picture yeah. is a tour laminate and you're talking about big things ahead, Tom yeah. will love you.
Yeah. Big things coming soon.
And Ms. Kunzman. Because I can say that now.
Yeah. Interesting. Ooh. My Twitter and Instagram are Kate Addison and then
spell.
Oh, you changed
Kate.
Them.
K-A-I-T.
There we go.
You changed the Addison. It's Kunzman now.
Oh, you're right.
Oh.
Kate Kunzman.
Ah, you
Kate
sound like Brian.
I don't even
well,
know.
It's so soon.
I don't even know your socials.
So it's at Kate Kunzman on both Twitter
That's
and Instagram.
That's why I don't follow you.
And then 18th and Addison, we both go on and like to talk to people. So
it's at 18th Addison just to help.
Yeah.
They
sure
legit talk
right
to people,
place.
Though. Like
yeah,
it comes
do.
Up
we love
in my
it.
Feed.
I, love it.
They
yeah.
actually really care, which is nice.
We do.
So
you guys.
Yeah, we love it. We love being on social media.
I love 18th and Addison. I'm so happy they're here right now. I think that Emily could say something sweet as the co-manager, and Jed will wrap this up.
Yeah, you would think.
She's like, get these people out of my house.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
Whose house is it? Ron's house.
It's been amazing. I'm so happy they're here and very excited to see them play tonight. And thank you for coming in and doing this. Ooh.
Thanks for having us.
Guys, this has been such a pleasure. I'm so happy to be able to co-host this episode of Waldman's Words. I'm Jed Fuchs, at JEDFUCHS. I'm sitting here next to our other co-host, Emily Burke, at EMILYBERKE.
Yeah.
With shout out to Adobe Radio for hosting us. Thank
you
so much.
Are you gonna give me? What the fuck?
And that's at Scott Lewis Waldman.
Your name's on the show, dude.
Yeah, I already dropped the at Waldman's Words.
This episode
They're
to
also
Dilla's
at
Dicks.
Wald Management, which is how you can find them and the other bands they manage. Scott's making us laugh at the end of the show, and I'm going to do our favorite way to end out the show, which is a rapid fire. I want to hear one adjective from each of everybody, one of you, that describes your experience on this show today. Rapid fire. Bam.
Salty.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Ah.
Lovely.
For me,
I like that.
Educational. I felt like I learned a lot today.
All right.
This has just been great.
Great. Yeah. She's very
totally coming in clutch.
That
yeah.
thesaurus coming in handy.
Honestly, great.
And this has just been great is mine, too.
Yeah. And there's the English degree, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Six
figures worth of money's well spent.
Thank you guys for coming in. Bye. We love you.
Bye.